you and get that to you.
Thank you. You know, another thing on PFAS, I seen something on PFAS in Washington, D.C. on these rollbacks that they're doing. And the last I seen on it, it looks like that was one of the things they're doing is they are going to roll back these new, more stringent requirements back to the old ones. So the whole thing might change here in the next month or so. Okay.
Alvin, I got one comment on the PFAS too. The state is working with several all fire departments within the state of Alaska to try to remove any foam that we may have in our supplies that contains any PFAS, and they've got a grant to try to get that out. So I was happy that that's kind of progressing also. So.
Yes. Information. I thought they'd done that years ago, but anyway. Sampling pool discussion. We had. Annie?
Yes. So in the packet is some information regarding the pool. Right now, the Sandpoint design team did submit their 65% design on April 8th. At that time, Estimations Inc., which is an independent cost estimator, and will be referred to as ICE, and the AB Sandpoint Construction Contractor, UIC Construction, prepared construction costs based on the 65% design. On May 13th, the design team, ICE, UIC, and the borough met to reconcile costs between UIC and ICE. Prior to the cost reconciliation meeting, the estimates had about a delta of about $3.5 million. ICE estimate was $3.5 million, while UIC's estimate was about $5.5 million, which was about a $2 million difference. And those costs did not include additive alternate construction options or borough contingencies, just in case more funds were needed. During the cost reconciliation meeting, the team clarified scope and assumptions to make sure costs were estimated and prepared similarly. After changes to both estimates, there's expected to be a smaller cost delta, but the pool replacements costs are still expected to be near $5 to $5.5 million, depending on add alternates, pool material type, which we've decided on stainless steel, and others. And then it would also need to include borough construction contingencies. So we're looking at a plus or minus $6 million for this project. After numerous conversations internally and with Dow, the borough administration has determined to construct the pool using stainless steel. On May 16th, this was relayed to the design team, and they will proceed with the 95% design. And assume that stainless steel and concrete materials have relatively the same lifespan, maintenance requirements, and construction costs. However, constructing a pool entirely from concrete has increased constructability logistics with shipping, on-site concrete testing requirements, and costs. So that whole time that thing would have to be tested, and it gets really expensive. As noted earlier, the pool is estimated to cost about $6 million. The finance department determined potential sources of money available for construction of a pool. There's the Series E trust account, which has funds that were spent on bonded projects that were not transferred into the general fund account at completion of the projects. Once these funds have been recalculated in arbitrage, they will be available for general fund use. The borough also has funds available with the interest earned on the AMLET portfolios. These funds are essentially treated as the borough's savings, and if needed, we have used those to cover our budget deficits like we did this year. As of April 2025, the balance available on these accounts are about $4.632 million. These funds are not enough to cover the cost of the pool, and the use of these funds would deplete the borough's savings entirely and would cause immediate and future cash flow problems. At this time, the mayor, the finance department, and administration do not recommend moving forward with the pool construction. And with that, we'll bring it before you again at the July 10th meeting for further discussion, but we wanted to get this out to you as soon as possible. I do anticipate by the July meeting that I'll have the 95% design partially completed, a more up-to-date cost estimate, but I do believe that this pool will cost between a little below or above $6 million. So I just wanted to put that out there for discussion purposes. And if you have any questions, comments, let me know. Thank you.
Thanks, Annie. Questions? Well, yeah, any of your discussions that you're having about the cost of the pool, if you thought much about another bond election where the voters get to approve a bond and then there's money available to do it, have you thought about that, or is that premature?
That is definitely an option. However, that would have to go for a vote of the people at the, what is it, October election. So we would miss the window for this, for UIC Construction to do the work, because they should be done with the deed project by then. And the reason this pool is as low of a cost as it is, which it's very expensive, but it's low, is because UIC is already on site to do the work. So if we wait, or if the borough decides to wait, the cost for this pool will increase because UIC will not be on site. So bonding is an option. We'll have the 95% design done, so that it's basically shovel ready and ready to go. So if a bonding is something that the assembly decides to do, that is definitely a possibility. I don't know if I would recommend it financially at this point in time, just looking at our finances, but that is definitely an option.
Let me add into that a little bit. So, you know, a couple of other things that as we were going through this and seeing how much money we had, where we were going to get the money from, we talked about bonding. Here's why I don't think bonding would be good. Right now, with the amount of money that we're putting into the helicopter operation out in ACTAD, which is a little over $1 million on our part right now, but we've brought that down from $3 million it was to start with, then it was two. We went down and got Essential Air Service to pick up half of it, so we were down to just over $1 million. We've been to the state telling them, you know, where we are financially with Trident looking at moving, and we got King Cove shut down and Fort Myer shut down, that the money's not going to be there. What could they do to give us a hand? So they are looking at least one time, providing $500,000 on that operation, which will bring us down a little bit more. And while we're doing that, and then down in Washington, D.C., the last thing that I've seen, I haven't seen any more updates on it, but in the president's cuttings that he's doing down there, they're looking at cutting 55% of Essential Air Service. But there's no paperwork to back it up, like, are you cutting 55% out of everybody across the board? Are you cutting out a whole chunk out of one part of the country? So we could lose another half or more there and be back up to the million, even if we got the $500,000 from the state. So, and with the fisheries in the state that they're in, I really couldn't recommend bonding. It would put the borough and the assembly, you know, probably out for the next 30 years holding another bond and trying to figure out where we're going to get the money from, because next year, a lot of the money that we put into this year's budget is non-renewable funds, things that Annie and Jackie have been going through and cleaning up all the old accounts and money that was sitting here and there and put up. So that's basically gone now. We're not going to have any of this next year to pick at, but you could figure right now with what we're looking at, we're going to have to come up with probably around $2 million next year someplace. So it's just like every time we turn around, we get hit with something else. Paul?
Yeah, I want to get back to there's a little bit of in the narrative about stainless steel. I don't know who the stainless steel advocate is. However, just to give you a little background so you can put it in the back of your mind for later, if you do stainless, it has to be a certain grade, 316 stainless. There were two fishing boats that used 304 stainless in the fish hold, salt water. This is going to probably be a salt water pool also. But it was not much better, 304 was not much better than mild steel. And the price of 316 stainless, which you would have to use, I don't even want to get a quote on that. But anyway, just you might keep that in mind. And I wish Warren was here. He's welding on 360 and stainless a lot, but that's the marine grade, that's all. Anyway, that's stainless, a version of stainless steel storage. Thank you.
Okay. Other comments?
Jim, what, how much better would it cost the school district to run the pool? They haven't run it here.
Go ahead, Alvin.
Well, I was going to say, I'm not sure. I didn't know if you had those numbers or not. And that's another thing, too. When it comes back online, you know, whatever that cost is, the school district is, you know, we're only 100, we're going to be 130 or 170,000 from maxing out on what we're able to give to the school.
Yeah, about 159,000, I think. But the pool operation costs can vary. They have to buy chemicals. The pool has to be set at a certain temperature. Chemical reading has to be at a certain setting. So the chemicals, you'd have to have an employee, the heat, the water costs, lighting, electricity, all of that would be paid for by the school district, which they do not currently have budgeted. So it would be a big increase. I would anticipate it would be about 180,000 to 250,000, maybe more per year that would fall on the school district.
All right. Thanks, Lenny. So would we just be kind of in a waiting position to see if grants come along for a pool or funding opportunities for a future pool?
Yeah, I mean, we continuously look. I just asked Glenora to look again. She's also been talking to Unalaska about what they do, but they just self-fund their pool, and they're looking at like a $75 million swimming pool or something like that. It's not just a pool. It's got a lot of other things, but they're just paying for that out of their general fund. So there's not a lot of grants for this. Rasmussen is an option, but that's $250,000, which helps but doesn't help that much. And we've looked at other items as well. We could always follow the deed procedures, but pools are not something that typically the state funds. So I don't think that would be an option either, but we do keep looking.
All right, thanks.
And the Rasmussen Foundation was out here Friday? Last week,
yeah.
Last week, two ladies came up, and Beverly and I went up to pool with them, and they looked around. And that's a possibly, I think they got another, well, they had 2 weeks from the time they were out here is when Rasmussen's going to make a decision on who they give grants to. And the request from the borough was for $250,000. So it'll be a couple of weeks before we know what happens with that. And the other thing, too, is if, you know, if the assembly goes along with the recommendation of administration, one thing, once we get to our, the 95 is already paid for, so the pool, all the plans, everything ready to go, we don't have to do that again. That's already something that we've paid out on. And one of the reasons, Paul, I decided stainless to go with that was, the one in Alaska didn't last that long. I was out there when they replaced the pool. They had the same kind of pool we had here. And it was all concrete and it cracked. So now they're back to putting new ones.
Well, yeah. In the report here, it says, Mayor, Finance Department, Administration, do not recommend moving forward with pool construction. So the pool's closed, been closed, be closed for a while longer for $200. You can cut a 2-foot by 2-foot hole in the sump and look what's in there for $200. And we do have $200 in our budget. So I think that's still a good offer. We talked about that before. Nobody wanted to do that. But if we don't have a pool, you're not hurting a darn thing. Pool's not being used for anything. Cutting a hole might, you just might get lucky and say, well, there's the problem. And you won't, can't do that without cutting a hole with a one or two sumps or in the bottom. Anyway, I just want to mention it for the record. Thank you.
You want to cut it? You want to do that?
I don't have
We're talking about stuff here now, so come July, people can think about what we're doing and where we're at on this, and if that's something that there's something else to do, we can get somebody and cut it up. Jimmy said he'll cut the hole.
Falling back to if we can't afford a pool, like Bob said, probably fixing it would be go back to another option. But Don Eubank and someone else did actually tunnel under that pool and take the drain out. They did it by hand. And he said he replaced that years back. So I guess that is an option, though, still fixing it. Way cheaper than a new pool, obviously, but there's some weird work that has to be done. He was afraid it was going to collapse on him.
Yeah, well, that's one thing I'd be really afraid of, is because you're going to be underneath all that paint, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, these are options.
Alvin?
Yes?
So, just getting back on this pool thing, so we did decide to go up to $500,000 for the pool assessment, and that would be, like you said, the blueprints and everything on that. How much of that have we spent? Do we know, or what's all with that?
Annie?
I don't have the accounting in front of me, so I don't know exactly what we spent, but we are just now completing the 65% portion, moving into the 95%, and then at that point, I'd probably stop. So I don't have the numbers, Chris. I would have to look.
And then also, I'm sure that this has been done, you know, but I just wanted to bring up also, has there been anything where something can be brought before, you know, maybe the Native hospital or a Native organization saying that, you know, this pool benefits Native elders or I mean, I'm sure that's been done, but I just was curious if we had reached out to try to do anything along those lines.
I don't think we have, but we could definitely do that.
It's just a thought. And then also, you know, with it being a Native population also, you know, and the necessity that it has been used in the past by all the communities within the borough of getting our kids over there and educated on water safety and not only water safety, but CPR. I've gone over there and helped teach a class years ago when my son was in sixth grade. And so I know the importance of that program, and I don't know if there's somebody that we could reach out along those lines also saying the importance of, you know, all of our communities being fishing communities and being around water. I know that being in the swimming pool and swimming out in the bay here in King Cove are two different things, but just that water safety in general too, I think is very important for all the communities within the borough. So,
you know, another thing too is we could, of course, the legislature's out now, but we could go back and ask. Of course, the state doesn't have any money either now, apparently, according to them, but the state built the first one here, so we could also see if they'd be willing to help replace it. And one of the things, well, that's we reached out to Rasmussen, and I think they reached out to some other grantees also that dealt with pools, and a lot of them that we reached out to don't participate in any pool construction, or they just say no. And then, you know, if people think about different areas that we could look at, you know, send an email into Annie or Glenora on things that we could look at, because everybody wants the pool back up. It's just that right now, when you look at the revenues of the borough, if we took all of the money that we have, we'd still be short by probably up to $2 million. But then we wouldn't have any money left that would clean up all the money that we have and things like, you know, just now looking at spending $700,000 to fix the school in King Cove, and we've just now started on this deed project here in Sandpoint, which is, I don't know the final number on it off the top of my head, but which is a very expensive project, and if they hit a couple of things in there that aren't covered, we're going to have to come up with more money for that. And, you know, there's Falls Pass has some problems with their school that we don't know what the numbers are on it yet. So we do need to keep some money on hand, because everything that we have, you know, we've had it for the last 40 years, and there hasn't been a lot of maintenance done over time, and it's catching up to us. So we really need to be sure that we keep our facilities up, keep our education system going. And
this is Brenda. Could I have a comment?
Sure, go ahead.
So I look at this. We want a pool, but you have to be financially feasible. And it is unacceptable to go and take all of our funds and put them into a pool and leave us with nothing. With nothing for rainy day, for something that comes up that's very dire needs. That's unacceptable to even consider. So I do agree with the mayor and finance and administration not recommending moving forward with pool construction. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, are there other comments? If not, I think Annie, I think Blaine is going to, we're going to talk about this again come in our July meeting. It's a, you know, it's a, everybody's been hyped up, we're going to get a new pool, and now we ran into this. So I think it's good that we have conversation and everybody can think about it for a while and see what we could come up with by July. And if, you know, and even I like even Paul's idea, let's go cut a hole in it and find out what's under there. There's probably different options. I even thought about, why the heck, since it's there, why couldn't we take that liner out of it, fix what's underneath, fiberglass, stupid thing. But that engineer would have to tell us if that's something feasible or not. But I look at it like a big crab tank. You know, you should be able to fix it. Anyway, other comments? Okay. Onward. New business. Donation requests. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osbach Assembly. So the borough does have an established donation policy. Donations are due May 1st or November 1st, and I did include a copy of the donation policy in here for your reference. In FY25, the Assembly did appropriate $20,000 for donations. In May 2024, the Assembly approved $15,200 in FY25 donation requests, which left a balance of $4,750. In November of 2024, the Assembly approved an additional $1,500 for QTT's annual Christmas potluck. So there was a balance remaining of $3,250 for FY2025 donations. On or before May 1st, 2025, the borough received two requests that qualified for FY2025 donations and four that qualified for FY26. So for the FY2025 donations, what we are recommending is $2,750 for the King Cove Fire and Rescue annual Fireman's Picnic and $500 for the City of Sandpoint's annual community cleanup, and that would expend all the donation funds for FY25. So that's the recommendation there. For FY26, now that the budget has been approved, there's $20,000 available for FY26 donations. On May 1st, the borough received four donation requests that qualified for FY26 funding. What the administration is recommending is $1,000 for the Sandpoint Silver Salmon Derby, $6,000 for the Eggdow Culture Camp, $6,000 for that, $3,000 for the Sandpoint Teen Center, and $6,000 for the QTT Culture Camp, which totals $16,000 and would leave a remaining balance of $4,000 for other FY26 donations. Like I said, there'll be another one in May or November of 2025 and then May of 2026 for that. So that is the recommendation before you, and we would definitely need a motion from the Assembly to approve those donations. Thank you.
Thanks, Annie. Paul?
A motion approving the recommendation by the borough staff for FY25 of $3,250 and for FY26, a total of $16,000.
Do we have a second?
I'll second, Mrs. Josie.
Okay. Warren's here.
Hey, Warren. Okay, so we have a motion on the floor made by Paul, seconded by Josie. Any discussion on the donation request motion?
Alvin or Chris?
Yeah, Chris.
I'll take my Aleutians Borough hat off and put my Fire Chief's hat on. I appreciate the last, I can't remember how many years now. I think we're on 25 years now of doing this here in King Cove. And I've estimated that we've probably given over $25,000 in scholarship money to graduating seniors. And it seems to be a event that everybody in the community looks forward to. I kind of wish that it could be scheduled around the ferry time so that we could get some other people. I'm a little bit excited that it's the day after graduation, so we'll have some people from other communities here. But I appreciate the support of many entities that put into this, but also with the borough always have been supporting this for, I can't even remember the first time we put a request in. So I just want to say thank you to the borough for continuing to support this picnic.
Okay. Other comments? Jim?
Thanks, Greg. I also have to thank Bill for the team center here at Sandpoint. We've been updating new flooring, heaters, and furniture, trying to make it nicer for the kids. So thank you.
Yeah. Other comments? Question on motion?
Warren?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Annie, we are down to reports and updates.
And there are none. For this meeting.
So. Let's put it on the agenda. Well, we could blame that on the one that's not here. Okay, so assembly. Do you have any comments?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, this is Josie. I have a comment.
Okay, go ahead, Josie.
Just going back to, you know, each year, all the RFPs that we put out, is there any way we can put in there something that says to use local hire? You know, a lot of the communities have people who are struggling to find work, especially with no fishing or, you know, whatever the case may be. But the projects that happen, especially with the schools, happen during the summertime, and I just think, if possible, it'd be a good idea to put it out there for local hire. Thanks.
Okay. Jim?
Great, thanks. I'd like to thank the administration and everyone that worked on the budget and the pool, of course, and all that work. Easy for us to ask for things, but thanks for all the work.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Yeah, Warren has comment here.
Go ahead, Warren.
Yeah, the reason I missed the meeting here today was because we had another meeting. I had another engagement with the Fish and Wildlife Service on the proposed land exchange for the road to Cove Bay again, and they got all the paperwork together. It'll be submitted later this afternoon, and we went and had a rundown through all that, all the paperwork and the proposals, and the best part about it, really just the purpose and need and all that. We don't really need that this time. And then the best part about it is going to be the land exchange itself will only be a total of 1,400 to 1,700 acres of land versus 32,000 like we had in the last land swap that didn't make it through. We almost finished it, but I don't think it ever got signed. So anyway, that was a real productive meeting, and they're expeditiously working on this new land exchange, and the appraisals are going to be done here this summer, and the rest of the survey and the geotech work that's on a couple of the bridges and story sites along the way, and the state of Alaska has a refined corridor alignment with in accordance with their new quarries, and not take so much rock out of the quarries. They are going to also incorporate some new cut and fill areas. So that is all on paper now, and hopefully, and then there's the conservation parts are all in place for some of the like the otters and the still riders, and the answers that the questions that are going to come up will all be in that document, hopefully. And it's the people working on it now are, you know, like we're working together instead of being on the opposite sides of the road, the Cold Bay process. It's strange to see a 180 turned on the people working for the Fish and Wildlife Service. So things are looking up in that regard. So I think that's all I have for today. And I'm glad I made it down to be able to comment on that. So we got to thank the borough for always being a part of our land exchange here in King Cove also, and to with all the other projects that that got us to where we are in the northeast corner right now. So thanks again, and I think that's all I have.
Okay, good information. Thanks, Bob. Anyone, Paul?
In July, I still think we should try to schedule a meeting. We haven't had a meeting in a community before. Anybody adopted it, remember? I do, but I'll keep quiet. So a ferry may be coming that might coincide with our meeting date, perhaps, or change the meeting date a little bit. I think it's a good idea. I'd like to see how King Cove is surviving without a cannery. And anyway, something for administration to think about and maybe fit into our schedule. Thank you.
Well, I think as a resident of King Cove, I think we are not only surviving, but we are thriving.
Good. That's good to hear. Maybe by the time we have another meeting, or at some point, maybe your mayor would let us know if they're making any headway on new ownership or plant operations that are going to happen over there at some point here. But that would be nice.
Yeah, I do have a little information here. Not to be Debbie Downer, but anyway, the Seattle court made the rulings on Rogers' property and assets, and he is trying to sell those now to another outfit, but he can't. I don't even know if the asset judgments came down legally because of the liens put on the parent company, Peter Pan. That was all on the table already, and there was liens that were in place. And how do you divvy up a company when there's all those liens are out there from the fishermen that were owed money and or vendors? So now we're stuck again. So that's like another setback. So that's something new that came out last night or this morning. So be aware, there's more to come.
Okay. Hey, you know, I saw where some judge gave the Hannah the ability to go forth and process again. Maybe you guys should talk to them and tie them up to the dock for the summer.
Yes, hey. That was that actually was talked about to bring them in to do some humpies after Bristol Bay. So, but then again, you know, you got the fishermen need. You look at it, the humpies come in thick. The whole St. Fleet's gonna be on 20,000-ton limit. That fills up that plant fast. So anyway, there's more to come on that too.
Yeah. So I know the fish predictions this year are 100% higher than they were last year. So it sounds like there's going to be like 214 million or something total state.
There's one more. So Bill Craig was on the meeting list today from ACOM in Anchorage, and they had the first opener in Cordova today. The price $7 a pound for sockeye.
Yeah, the first ones. I know, I'm waiting for the news this evening so I could see the Alaska Airlines guy holding the salmon up there. Well, be nice.
They're only showing king salmon now. I don't know. We'll see where the sockeye. They end up at Costco first.
Yeah. Other comments from the assembly? Okay. Very good. Do we have any public comments? Hearing none? We have our next, in June we won't have a meeting, so July 10th is our scheduled meeting, our next regular meeting. So with that, thank you everybody.
For adjourned.
Thank you.
We are adjourned.
You see it's how it could be. Oh. aqualung, my friend. Don't you start away on me. You poor old sod, you see it's only me.
Tune in to KSDP for Morning Edition from 6 to 8 a.m. Monday through Friday. National Public Radio's weekday morning news magazine, providing news in context, airing thoughtful ideas and commentary, and reviewing important new music, books, and events in the arts. We'll be right back.
Listening to 8:30 a.m. KSDP in Sandpoint, Alaska.
Remember last summer when we had the chance to find each other, start making romance, but it didn't come off 'cause you found another without one hand of a clock. What good is the other? I can't find no true love, oh baby, it's so hard.
I still think about you every time I'm riding in my car. Well, I went to the place where everybody hangs out to see what everybody was talking about. And over in the corner all alone with you was a boy from last summer singing songs to you. He can't sing like I can sing, oh, it's so hard. And I still think about you every time I'm riding in my car. Oh, when I'm home alone, I can think of other things to do. But when I'm rolling in forward motion, I think of my only you. It's been a year and a day since I've talked to you. I don't know how I made it, but I sure have been blue. And every time I think about it might have been, I jump in my car and start riding again. And I can't find no true love, oh baby, it's so hard. And I still think about you every time I'm riding in my car.
So please believe in me.